We make our meditation this morning in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we are again. It seems like just a few weeks ago it was Christmas, and now we're in the season of Lent. The purple banners, the purple paraments. So what do you expect from Lent this year? It's one of the earliest times that we've celebrated Lent and Easter that I can remember. So what do we hope for? What do we look for? I know it's a time of penitence, a time of reflection, a time of meditation on just why it is that Jesus came to die. And it was for us and for our sins. But what are we looking for this particular Lent? Are we hoping for something that, I don't know, might make us feel a little better? Are we looking for something that might cheer us up? Are we looking for good news or maybe that winning lottery ticket? Who knows? But one of the things that we should grab onto most strongly during this Lenten season, at least from where I'm sitting, is the hope that we have in Jesus. In spite of everything that happens, in spite of everything that's going on in the world and in our lives and with the lives of those that we love, we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. His cross is not like any other type of wishful thinking that we have in this world. The symbol of his cross reminds us of what he did for each and every one of us. It's nothing small. He gave his life so that we could have new and unending life. That's why that cross, a symbol of torture, has become a symbol of hope. The irony is, it doesn't really remind us much of hope. As I said, it was an instrument of torture, a horrible one at that. The cross provides us with hope once and for all because Jesus died so that we will not die forever, but that we will have new and unending life in him. The cross and Jesus dying on that cross gives us a path to follow. Heaven awaits us, and a faith that brings us closer to God himself, our Father in heaven, and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to one another as Christians, and to our brothers and sisters who as of yet don't know Jesus. These are all those reasons that you and I have hope this Lenten season. You know, even though Jesus told them time and again and again and again, like little children, the disciples didn't want to believe what Jesus was telling them. They didn't want to hear that he was going to die and suffer for the sins of the world. They doubted this hope, this good news that Jesus proclaimed. They didn't think it was good news at all. What do you mean you're going to die? What do you mean? We don't understand. We can't wrap our heads around that. They questioned it, and when it was happening, what did they do? They all ran away and hid because they were afraid they'd be next, losing sight of the fact of what Jesus had been telling them the whole time, that this is necessary for not only your salvation, but the salvation of the whole world. They sank into hopelessness and despair. Well, living on this side of the resurrection, we are not hopeless. We don't need to be in despair because we know that Christ rose again. Yes, this is a time of reflection and a time of repentance and a time of being sorry for all of the sins that we commit. That was the reason Jesus died in the first place. But one of the criminals on the cross, hanging next to Jesus, said, "So, if you're really this Messiah guy, then why don't you save yourself? And while you're at it, save us too, huh?" And the other criminal on the other side of Jesus says, "What's wrong with you? Don't you know who this is? This is the very Son of God. He's done nothing wrong. We belong here. We got caught, and we're paying the price for our deeds. But he didn't do anything wrong. And then he turns to Jesus and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus speaks those wonderful words, especially to his ears. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." The thing about that is, that little snippet of gospel, is that we think of it as a story about a thief on the cross and Jesus. We need to take those words to heart, because Jesus opened the way of paradise to you and to me and to everyone who calls upon his name, who believes in him. All those people mocked him. They made fun of him. They thought he was another failed prophet that was wandering around Jerusalem. The soldiers, as they crucified him, mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." The crowd shouted out again, "Crucify him, crucify him." The people walking past read the sign. "This man said he's King of the Jews." Well, that's what they wanted it to say. But Pilate just wrote, "Behold the King of the Jews." And they shook their heads and said, "What a shame. Doesn't look much like a king now, does he? Didn't turn out the way we thought it would." And their hopes were dashed. But one person had hope that day. The thief on the cross. He spoke the words that are in all of our hearts and in all of our minds. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's our hope, isn't it? Hope in the cross. Jesus died and rose again so that we can have new and unending life in him. And he does and will remember all of us as he comes into his kingdom, when that day comes when we go from this life to life eternal. Death becomes just a door to new and unending life. Remember, as you go through Scripture, you see this being carried out. You see the hope being realized, especially on the lips and in the eyes and hearts of those same disciples. Remember what happened a couple of days after the resurrection? Two of Jesus' disciples were bailing out of Jerusalem. They were headed back to Emmaus, their hometown. It's about 6.5 miles away. Now, you need to remember, there was only a footpath. There wasn't roads like we know today. And they were walking along, going back to their hometown. And suddenly, this other guy walks up and he starts talking to him. And he asks him, "What's going on? What's the news? What's happening?" They said, "Are you a stranger to Jerusalem? Don't you know Jesus, the prophet, the Messiah, was crucified just a couple of days ago? We were his disciples, and we're giving up. We're going home, back to our old life." And this guy kept walking along with them and talking to them, telling them about things that he understood about Scripture, and about what about those prophecies in the Old Testament? What about all those promises that other people had made? What happened with all of those? We don't know. We don't understand. We don't get it. We can't see the hope that's here. When he turned to leave them as they got toward home, they said, "No, come in and have supper with us." He says, "Okay." And he goes in, he sits down with them. And he says, "Grace." They think, for somebody who didn't know Jesus or didn't know what was going on, that's kind of odd. He's praying. He's saying grace. That's kind of cool. And then he reached over and he picked up the bread. And he broke it. Talk about an aha moment. "Wait a minute. We know you. We were there when you broke the bread. And you said, 'Behold, this is my body.' And when he took the cup and said, 'This is my blood.'" do this in remembrance of me. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they realized who was sitting across the table from them. And they looked up and Jesus was gone. Now, what would you do in that situation? You've just encountered the living Christ, Jesus himself in the flesh. You saw him die, and here he is sitting at your table having supper with you. Those two disciples picked up and ran all the way back to Jerusalem. They couldn't wait to tell the other disciples what had just happened, who they had seen along this footpath in the dark, 6.5 miles, to tell the other disciples they had seen the risen Lord. They could hardly believe it themselves, and they couldn't wait to share that news with everybody else. And so they ran. And they got there, they were out of breath. They said, "You're not going to believe what just happened." And of course, Peter and Mary and the rest were there, and they'd already seen Jesus. They said, "Oh, really? Oh, imagine that." I guess we weren't the only ones that were surprised. And their faith began to grow and grow and grow. As we encounter the living Christ at his table, beneath his cross, we're again reminded of the hope that we have as brothers and sisters in the family of God. As members of the body of Christ, we have hope that this is not all there is, and then we die. Yes, we die, but we go on to new unending life in heaven with our Lord and Savior and God our Father. That's good news. That's great news. That's the kind of hope that we need on a rainy Sunday morning, the first Sunday in Lent. It's the kind of news we need in the world in which we live, in the situations that we're all living in, that God in Christ gives us hope every day. He promises new and unending life. He promises to be with us. He promises his Spirit to guide us and to direct us, to make us better at what he has called us to be, and that is his hands and feet, his disciples, his witnesses to the world. And so whatever we do and whatever we say and wherever we are, we are reminders of who our Lord is. We show that love of God in the things we do, the words that we speak, and the relationships that we have. So our hope on this first Sunday in Lent is spurred on by that empty cross. It didn't hold Jesus, neither did death. And that empty cross is a sign to each and every one of us that we too have new and unending life in him. So be blessed as we move forward in this Lenten journey with faith and confidence and assurance that God is with us in Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is guiding us and directing us, and that the crucified Lord and Savior will always be by our side. And he will remember us as we come into his kingdom and are united with him and all those brothers and sisters of faith who have gone before us. May Jesus bless us with hope, confidence, and a strong faith, not just this Lenten season, but every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, as we begin this journey through the season of Lent, with the cross staring down at us, reminding us of your death, help us to look forward with the gift of your Holy Spirit, to know that that cross could not hold you, that death could not hold you, that you rose to newness of life and opened the way for each of us to join you in your kingdom when we pass from this life to life eternal, but also to bear witness to the love and the grace and the forgiveness that you show us from that cross. Help us to bear witness to our faith and to your love. In Jesus' name, amen.